Honorable members, we have an agreement with Tourism SA that if we could finish the meeting by 10:30, they'll take us on a tour to Rhode Island. And I think we have something to work towards. I want to say welcome to the members to the meeting. We have some other members that will join us, but we would have to proceed. We have to also welcome the CEO, the board members, as well as the senior staff from SA Tourism. We appreciate your presence and you heeding our request to come and report to us today as the Select Committee on International Relations and Trade on the work that you are doing in SA Tourism. Some of us have been able to participate in the tourism in Dava that was recently held in Durban. Others participated in the award ceremony that you had here in Cape Town, and yet others also participated in the event that was arranged by Minister Derek Hanekom after the deliberative speech in the National Assembly. The Department of Tourism would be delivering its budget vote to the National Council of Provinces on the 3rd of June, and we look forward to that. We would request our secretary to inform us if we have any apologies for today.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've received two apologies from the EFA. Two apologies to the SNS. It's for Mr. Honorable Vauda and Honorable Mukwena.
Thank you very much. We do know about Honorable Van Lingen. So it's fine. I also had a conversation with him yesterday. I just want our secretary to know that Honorable Van Lingen has got these commitments between this committee and Committee on Appropriations. And I know Appropriations Committee is meeting next tomorrow. Today they have some very important deliberations, and she's standing in for somebody in that committee and indicated that she will, when their committee has important business, have to play the dual role of representing her party both here and there. So that's a standing apology. Also, the apology that still stands for Honorable Mutimunya, who is doing work on behalf of the NCOP, where they are busy with the screening of magistrates. And they're doing that work in Pretoria right now. Just for notice, we won't necessarily record it to say to the members that I have drafted the letter as per request of this meeting to the Chief Whip, that's the advice that I got, or rather the Whip of the NCOP, to talk about the one member that is not contributing in terms of participation in the meeting. That said, colleagues, let me, before I give over to Lani, I am so close to you that I've forgotten your surname. And I'm looking at my papers here and I can't see it. Here it is. Mr. Tulani Nzima is the CEO of SA Tourism. And we will give over to you within a minute. I just wanted to say to our parliamentary liaison officer, Pietra, that also we have become very close to, that we can use a first name. Thank you very much for the efforts you made in terms of making sure that we get the material. She sent me an email to say that the tourism material is so big that it's impossible to email it. And then we said, let's look at zipping it and sending to everybody. Or alternatively, let's look at dropping it in people's pigeonholes. That was about 9 o'clock in the evening. When I arrived here at 8:30 in the morning, it was in the pigeonholes. We appreciate that type of support that we are also getting from Pietra's office. Thank you very much. That said, I would assume that all the members now therefore have the hard copies of the tourism strategic plan as well as the annual performance plan that they will be presenting to us today. Mr. Nzima indicated to me that he also has his bosses here with him today. So we will maybe do what we did yesterday, because I'm sure that we all have to contribute to our local tourism, and one time or the other in our lives it is important that we take a break, and you people should know when you see us at these tourism sites that you give us a little bit of an extra service. So let me introduce the members, or let me allow the members to introduce themselves before we give over to the CEO to introduce the colleagues from South African Tourism. Can we start with you, please, honourable member, furthest to my left?
Okay, my name is Jacques Lund, and I'm a permanent delegate from the Western Cape.
Good morning, my name is Willem Faber, and I'm representing the Northern Cape in this election.
Thank you, good morning. My name is Bill Marto. My surname is Ntebe. I'm from the Northwest.
Thank you very much. Can we now hand over to you, please, Mr. Nzima?
I'm trying to find the button.
Oh, well, keep this machine alive. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much for the opportunity. We don't often get invited here to share our plans, and we're getting a little bit worried that maybe you have forgotten about it. We remember meeting with you only once, so we were getting a little bit worried and felt like we could get children to a certain extent. Then we welcome the opportunity. I also want to recognize the presence of our principals, the National Department of Tourism, although they are sitting in the bank, in the bank benches, but they are very important in our lives, key partners. Thank you very much for joining us. Also, to take this opportunity, honorable members, to apologize on behalf of the chairperson of the board who had hoped to be with us here, but due to unforeseen circumstances in the last minute, he is unable to join us today, and some of the board members have also been offering apologies due to various reasons. So we sincerely hope that honorable members accept their apologies. Having said that, let me also introduce the chiefs in my team. Let me start from the right-hand side. The chief operating officer, Tembiso Dlamini. And to my immediate right, the chief financial officer, Tom Owen. To my left is the manager in my office, my big boss, Ndogo Zohana. And we also have anchors in our team, Tekiso Rakolojan is the acting chief quality assurance officer following the resignation of FMS and Sabina Pace in Tegnene, who recently left the organization. So she has that. He is a quality assurance officer in the grading control. And Amanda Gozelago, the chief collection bureau officer, is a long title. Between her and KMB, they have the longest title. She is in charge of a newly formed wing of our business, the National Convention Bureau. Very important as this supports our business events into South Africa and feeding into the leisure tourism later on. So a very important part of what we're doing. Honorable members, the presentation we're going to give you is not comprehensive enough to tell you everything that we do at South African Tourism. And because it's a PowerPoint presentation, you will agree that it is reached to a very large extent. We have also presented the same to the portfolio committee, but then they invited us to come back and present on specific areas of our business. In this presentation, I may not allude to this very clearly, but let me take this opportunity, Chairperson, to indicate that the business of South African Tourism really hinges on three areas. The first one being the leisure tourism business that everybody knows about. The second one is the National Convention Bureau, where Amanda sits. And then the third one is the third pillar of our business, is the trading platform. All of these combine to give us, as South Africa, a compelling value proposition when we're competing out there in the world. In this presentation, we may not be able to go into the details of the plan that we have for each one of these business units. We will give you a helicopter view of what we do as South African Tourism, because in the leisure environment itself, there's just so much that we can tell you about. We can tell you about what we do in specific countries, what we do globally, what we do with joint marketing agreements. It sounds very easy. And also the bigger task of focusing on creating awareness about this country and creating positivity around the country to deal with challenges that all of us are aware of on a daily basis. It sounds very simplistic, but it's a massive task, and we have plans for each one of these things. Then we come to the rest of African market, which is equally important. This presentation is not going to give you enough detail. I'm making this appeal so that when we take you through this, and you find something missing, it's not that you don't have the information. We have a Bible of a stress plan, which is much more detailed. Then come to the domestic market. Even it's very, very important, and we've been given additional money to market here. What exactly are we doing? That detail is not going to be very clear here today. So, if a question arises, we may want to say, let's pack it away. We'll answer what we can today. But in some instances, we might say, allow us an opportunity to come back and talk in more detail about the Convention Bureau. Let's come back and talk in more detail about the trading council, the domestic and the African market. So that is exactly what we have gone through. We have offered to the portfolio committee when we appeared to them to say we can't do sufficient justice to the details that we want to project to you in a short meeting like this, especially when there's an incentive for going to Robben Island in a space of 15 minutes or so. So, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, this is really a tribute to the presentation so that at least we have context of it, and that we are not short of detail in any way. So with that explanation, Chairperson, I want to also make reference to the fact that we have sent this presentation beforehand, and you, Honorable Members, would have interacted with the presentation. So in my presentation now, I will really not try and read line by line. I'll talk you through the presentation. But if you feel that in certain areas I've skated over the detail, of course there will be questions. So we also want to start building a process, Chairperson, where honorable members can raise questions to us. We will make sure that by the next session when we come through here, we give you even more details, even things that we may have answered today, but we would like to create a habit and culture of always reflecting on those areas and the detailed answer that we can give you. So thank you very much, and off we go with the presentation. We are not going to spend too much time in the mission and vision, but just a reflection of some of the changes that we have made, specifically with regards to the vision of the organization. we always position South Africa as a destination that is ambitious. So our previous mission stated that for South Africa to be in the top 20 destinations by 2020. And we've just modified it to reach, as you see now, for South Africa to be amongst the most referred destinations in the world to maximize the economic benefits for the tourism industry and our people in South Africa. And in terms of the mission, this is how we're going to go about doing it. The development of a well-structured marketing plan is very important for us, and also the implementation of strategies that are going to help us deliver on the business of the events. Make sure that the training factors that we are using and the tools that we are using are properly benchmarked to be among the best in the world, so that at least there is no disconnect between what international tourists are experiencing abroad and what they will experience here. And making sure that although we do not have authority over provinces, but we can actually align the thinking and the various marketing initiatives that we have to maximize the small budgets that all of us have in place. The tourism industry itself requires a lot of collaboration, so we work through various structures that help us in that regard and ensure that the resources that are given, limited as they may be, we make the best of it and get the best return on that investment. Honorable members, our mandate continues to be enhanced every year, and there is, of course, the point of reference, which is the National Tourism Sector Strategy, which has given back to some of the targets that we are dealing with. This year we have an opportunity to review this document, but at the moment, really, it is at the higher level. It is about growing sustainable tourism economy in South Africa, which will cover the domestic and international and regional African markets, and making sure that everything that we do is anchored on innovation and service excellence for broader participation in this environment. And the strategic outcome, all of these things have got to be contributing to the tourism sector, which is inclusive and sustainable. And the Vietnamese are talking a lot more about inclusive economic growth rather than just a select few. So we know that this is a difficult task, and because of the limited investment that we've got, we have to then select a few strategies that we'll embark on. And our focus for now is to employ about six different strategies. And the first one is making sure that we invest in those kind of markets which will give us good return on investment, and that will be measured by the volumes and the revenue that we are generating from this. And also our continuous endeavor to make sure that we have in place proof points that will help people to deliver on the memorable experiences when coming to South Africa for business events. We have got world-class infrastructure in this country. This is what helps us to win in the business events environment. The Dating Council is still a voluntary program, and therefore our task is to persuade people, engage them on a continuous basis so that they can help us in the value proposition that I was talking about by reaffirming the brand promise that we make as South African tourism out there. South African tourism has to work with the industry. Our job, after creating awareness and changing messages in positivity, we have to work through the channel. When we talk about the channel, we talk about key players such as travel agencies and tour operators. These are the people who eventually convert the promise into the bookings and eventually getting people to come to South Africa. Limited budgets dictate that the opportunities that we see out there as well will far outweigh these resources. So what we do, so that we do not miss these opportunities, is operate in the form of hubs as strategies. We have started rolling out these hubs, and you see an example of how we have translated each one of these strategies that I'm talking about as well, detail of exactly what we are going to do and how we are going to do it. You're going to see snippets of it and the expected outcomes that are going to come out of this. And also making sure that we cannot do it unless our people are aligned and they are energized as an organization, and allowing them the creativity that will allow them to produce excellence. Our planning is not outside and misaligned to the bigger picture. If I take from the top, we make sure that we are aligned to the NDP and the growth plan. It's a 15-year horizon, and then we also make sure that the NDSS, which has said, is going to be reviewed shortly. It's very important. important and focusing on the medium-term strategic framework as well, and then the domestic tourism growth strategy over a 5-year period. So that's part of our own tourism strategic plan, which we are presenting here. It's a 5-year, and on an annual basis, we do our annual performance plan and reflecting on our plans as such. We drill it down to the divisional business unit so that it's a bottom-up kind of process. It doesn't just happen at the top, but we create the numbers and the strategies will be fulfilled in the different areas, then bring down to individual performances so that everybody is then accountable for the work that we're doing. So in terms of just the strategic objectives, again, I'm not going to go into big details about this. This now the interpretation of what we mean by the first strategy that we're saying we want to increase tourism sectors into 3G and sustainable economic growth. There are various things we're doing around this. The first one is to make sure that our arrivals in the country will continue to grow. We have a baseline. I'm not going to spend too much time here, but honorable members, let me just highlight this. The baseline that we've got for 2013 of 9.6 million tourists, one without the changes that SA has made. If you go to the statistics that have just been released by Statistics SA now, there's a bit of an anomaly if you have been following our numbers. That anomaly will be based on the fact that you will see our 2013 14 figure of 9.6 million. And then when you look at our performance in 2015, in 2014-15, you will see 9.5 million, and it's a growth of 6%. That's a bit of an anomaly. What has actually happened is that SA has changed its methodology of collecting and reporting on statistics. They have, for the first time, excluded what they call in-transit passengers. It's, again, another technology which may be confusing, but as a result of removing the in-transit passenger numbers, it changed the baseline for 2013, which you shall see here. So the baseline for 2013 was changed by specifically, by virtue of the change in the methodology. That's why you have a 9.5% by representing a 6% growth.
But you're just trying to get that feeling in there.
Yeah, that's, I suppose it's also an indication of my other talent, that of trying to make money in the evening, singing karaoke and stuff like that. So I think, Chairperson, honorable members, you're going to see this number, that's why I'm reflecting on it, and those of you who have been checking our figures, you might feel a little bit baffled by this. Maybe the detail of what exactly happened is not now, unless members want more salary on it, we will do so. So that is the first important thing for us to grow tourism, and you see in the AEPD itself how we are hitting these numbers. And also it is aligned to the outcome. This is outcome, it's linked to outcome number 11. So when you go through this, you see where the link is and the justification. Why are we doing the various things and then why are we embarking on a particular strategy? And the second one is to contribute to the tourism growth in South Africa, and here our main focus is to look at convincing people to travel for holiday purposes. So we measure ourselves on the basis of holiday trips that people are going to be undertaking. So our main focus really is to make sure that those people that we currently are not marketing as in corporate travel must then be enticed to travel for leisure purposes when they're not traveling for business purposes. So the rest of our domestic strategy is really aimed at the provision of people to travel for holiday purposes. That's why when we talk of short left, it is about that. Take short trips, but contributing to the economy. And then, of course, all of this must eventually translate into revenue. So we have a revenue target, and the contribution of tourism in billions of rand that combines the international travel as well as the domestic travel. So we have decided that we had better combine these two figures so for ease of reporting from our side. So the translation of what TTFDS means or what it stands for is already given to the members. And another point that I would like to highlight here is the 94.6 billion rand health baseline. Again, honorable members, this number, we should instead have corrected it, but the CFO and the Auditor General wouldn't allow us to. This number is a reflection of only 9 months of our performance in 2013. And when SSA was very late with their figures, we could not, for performance information quality purposes, change that because we had missed the, we were going to miss the deadline, so we reported on 9 months of our performance. So the 94.6 billion is what we reported over a 9 month period. Last quarter was the problematic. We eventually got the number. Well, it was 125 billion. 125 billion is what we achieved when the numbers were eventually recorded. But the AG could not go back and audit this, so we didn't change baseline as far as that is concerned. Awareness about the country, honorable chairperson, honorable members, is very important. And this is really, it comes in two forms. One is where we actively invest money to create awareness about the country. And it has nothing to do with Amanda's job. When we invest in events of international repute, such as the Soccer World Cup, we will create awareness about the country. Amanda doesn't have the budget for it. She doesn't focus on the cheap. She focuses on the meetings and the incentive travel, exhibitions, and conferences. Small parts. And this gets people confused at times. That is another form of creating awareness, which we may not actively be involved in. Negative things that happen, which may have nothing to do with us, create awareness about the country. And therein lies our second responsibility, to convert the both to actively create awareness about the country and those passively created awarenesses about the country into positive messages. So it's one thing to be aware of the country, but in what form? If you are aware of the country in a negative form, such as one we had recently, the honorable members, the xenophobic attacks that happened, created awareness about the country, but they were not positive. So it becomes our task as African tourism to convert that, to protect, brand South Africa as a destination that must still be chosen when people think of going on holiday. So these are the two main functions at the top of what we need to do to fulfill all the objectives that we have. We have created the awareness, but then it must be positive message. And it means dealing with the negative messages as well. And that's quite a massive thing, because other countries don't have to deal with these things. They only deal with maybe one component of it, experiences and products in their country. America has many various ways of attracting people. People even go to Las Vegas for a different reason when they're going to America. So they've got nothing to do with the image of the country. They've got their things. And the provision of the Quality Assurance Office products, as I indicated, it is really about making sure that the system has got in place that would. But we also have numbers that we've been dealing with, a bit of a challenge, because this is a voluntary program and it requires investment for people to continually stay at certain levels. So, like I indicated, all of these things, the justification, they've got particular outcome numbers that we are looking at, the baseline, and what it is linked to in terms of an outcome. And on the grading, on the business event side, if they say new business, when you see a baseline of 118 meetings that we've had, it does not tell the full story. We are now getting a bit closer to the stage where we have created a good trend for us to now put reasonable targets that are not going to be embarrassing to us, that we'll be able to achieve, but at the same time, they will stretch us. Some bit of good news, honorable members. ICA, which is the International Conference and Conventions Association, we have just had some major milestones as a country. The first one is Nina Frieden Pretoria has been appointed as president. Then Amanda is also a board member representing the, it's not the African region, but the Africa. And then also South Africa, when we started in 2012, we were ranked number 37. The number 37 based on the association meetings that we have hosted. So we moved from that time from hosting about 86 meetings, and we started moving them up, and in 2013 we had hosted 118 meetings, and that had moved us to position number 84 in the world. Now we are ranked number 32. It's a major jump. We are ranked number 32 and hosted officially 124 meetings. So this is big, honorable members, and you may not see in the international stage. It creates more opportunities for us. We just came back from yet another conference in Frankfurt recently, where South Africa was given an opportunity. Our deputy minister was allowed still to speak at this international conference at the politicians forum. So we you may not see how we actually move the country bit by bit into world stage where we get recognition. But thank you very much to Amanda and the team for a job well done and for progressing us that far. And also in terms of South African interest, we're actually oversubscribed this time around in terms of the interest from South African products to be at this international forum. So we're doing something good. In terms of the entities and the numbers that we have to deliver, all the stories, figures, as I indicated, given the change that I've just spoken about, honorable members, it means we will present this during this week, and Thursday and Friday, to the board a proposal to now readjust our baseline, firstly. Secondly, the targets that we are seeing here are also going to be adjusted. So from the arrival figure point of view, I request that honorable members do not read too much out of this, because we will correct it based on the change in the way in which Statistics SA collect and report on numbers. So that is the first line. The second line will be correct. There will be no change in so far as that concerns the domestic credit trips. So we will still stick that for our 2014-15, and the other year's target will go up that way. Just an indication of why the decline, that you may well be interested around it. The decline is informed by the economic forecast of the country. When the country revises its GDP forecast, it impacts on that. When the country reflects on its unemployment numbers, which honorable members will be aware that these numbers keep going up. This morning, there was a report which said another 6,000 jobs have been lost in one sector. So we continue to have this thing, and they impact on the number of South Africans who can travel. So when number of South Africans reduce, it means they will not check as many trips as they possibly can, and that has a relationship as well, honorable members, with the revenue that we are generating from the domestic side. You see that the figure that we've got there, if I may also quickly highlight the figure of the TDS in billion there, of 23.2 billion for 2014-15 to 24. Now, let me start with the 2013-14. The baseline of 2013-14 was 24.3, and it is then declining to 23.2. So that is not a growth that you see there of 24%. It's actually a decline of 4.2%. So my apologies for that. A small correction. So these two numbers are matched. They have that relationship. So going forward, that's how we're going to ratchet back into the numbers. So unemployment and everything that happens, the revised GDP, all of these things impact in the domestic environment. The rest of the numbers, honorable members, remain correct. The brand awareness, yes, we cannot considerably go beyond 80%. It's actually a very, very high awareness number. Although in some countries like the UK, our awareness is in the average of about 94%. Because of the trading history that we've had with the UK, because of the national relationship and affinity that we've had with the UK, it's easy for the British people to be aware of South Africa, and they pick up easily our communication messages. But they are not positively aware of us, by the way. So that's also another very interesting part of what we deal with. People become aware, but negative. They say awareness is not there, right? The greatest establishment, we hope that over time we're going to change the situation where currently we've been getting making our target in this area. A voluntary program which we cannot change. We keep throwing in the bucket of benefit. We keep refreshing the number of years that we want to keep people in the system. The minister has already embarked on incentive schemes. So we hope all of the things are going to start bearing fruits for us and as we go forward. But it remains a very, very challenging environment in that area. And the business trend side, as I indicated, we have a baseline. So don't be alarmed too much by the smaller percentage of numbers that we are seeing there. We will then, I think next year, Amanda, we are now celebrating 5 years of your birth, NCB. But I would say we are celebrating 5 years of your baby's birth. So by that time, we will have created sufficient baseline numbers, honorable members, that will allow us now to put our figures, our targets very correctly. But these are also going to be numbers that are going to help us improve in our e-ranking. A very important concept in there. In terms of the budget allocation, my chief here, key areas of the budget. Firstly, the biggest allocation of our budget comes from the government grants. And then number two comes from the Contra Navy. Honorable members, you will all be aware that there is a 1% tourism levy, which is also voluntary, by the way. So people choose to first contribute to it, and secondly, those establishments who are supposed to be collecting this levy do so on a voluntary basis. So we have another task where we have to persuade the Tomsa levy collector to actually sign up to collect. But they've done a good job. As we see from the Tomsa levy figure here, it's been going up. It's been averaging as a percentage of our bottom line, and I'll show you the next line, about 10%. So it's beginning to creep up, but it's been moving very nicely, and Tom can now focus on the outer end of about 104 billion rand that they are contributing. So it's significant, and the little bit that we get from the revenue that we generate from India and Meetings Africa, it's not really revenue except for the lack of definition that when we collect money for their participation, we record it as revenue, but it's actually a cost recovery exercise. And similarly, the grading fees have been a bit of a problem. So we record the actual figure that was collected in past years, netted to about 5 million, 3 million, and it's going down a little bit. But going forward, we believe that we can still collect more money for as long as people see value in the grading council and they have a bit of standard income. So where we are, honorable members, is that for 2014-15, we are now a billion rand entity based on the government's contribution, which is just under a billion rand. In 2014-15, you see there 876 million, and in 2015-16, it will be 977 billion coming from government, and the rest of the money that makes up the billion rand entity comes from various other areas. But this is the money that we use to market the country and competing with the rest of the world. At some stage, we may be able to show you the benchmark of who are we competing with from a budget point of view, how much budget are they commanding. So that's a discussion for another time. And over here, it's really just slicing those numbers in the table that are showing you that 83% for the 2015-16 medium-term period. But are we looking at 83% coming from government grants and the Tom Salary representing 9% and so on and so on. So we take this money and then the chief financial officer then allocates it in terms of the various areas that are important in the operation of the business. Says how much money he puts into administration and how much of that money will be allocated to international marketing to increase our tourist arrivals into the country and domestic components. The domestic component, if you can see, honorable members, 2015-16, it goes up phenomenally. That's because government has given us over 100 million for 2016-16, 2016-17. The third year, CFO, 2017-18, you assume you get the money, right? So, honorable members, if we, this is what government is giving us. It means government is saying domestic tourism is very important. And we've got specific plans, honorable members, that talk to the additional revenue, ring fence money, which you will not be able to see in this presentation, which is why my plea earlier on saying, if you wanted to come back and give you that detail, we'll definitely give you that detail. But right now, I don't even know how much time I've got left. Who's keeping a watch on me?
10-15 minutes?
10-15 minutes, that sounds good. Eh? This is the thing, you want to think it's right. Okay, don't worry about this one, we're rushing to the thank you. And some of the challenges that we may have shared with you, members, honorable members, is how the currency fluctuation has impacted on us. In some areas last year, we lost about 30% of our marketing budget as a result of the currency fluctuation. So we have embarked on various things that will help us to mitigate that. And the upfront payment of our budget has been very important. And then we take that money and put it in foreign countries. This is also detailed on the decision. Honorable members, I think if I'm less than 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I would... Let me look at the National Convention Bureau. I want to try and get to the end so that we have a discussion now. The Convention Bureau, I've spoken about it, and we really, although it says the MICE business, this is, it helps you to have an understanding and interpretation of what MICE stands for. But we do not even focus on marketing across the world with all of these things. We market where we believe we've got strength. The way we target ourselves is around specific areas of strength. If you look at the bottom, our strength in terms of the meetings environment, we're saying we have limited strength to compete there. And then we were very strong in the incentives and the conventions kind of meetings. But it is also about areas where we believe we can play very, very well and what is who is our target audience in all those areas. In terms of our model for marketing out there, the representation, the structure, we opted for a hybrid model where in some areas we have our own staff members, but we have also decided to embark on a general case representation model, which gives us more coverage and the depth of skill where we ourselves wouldn't have been able to have those skills. So we're getting a lot of benefit there from using the sales representative model. So for this to talk to the South African economy and its environment, we have decided to look at various policies and say, how do we support various policies, housing and so on, and making sure that what we do here can contribute to their areas. Mining and agriculture have been major sectors across all the provinces. But if you look at this busy slide, it tells you that in housing, the key industries that we would like to support are in the financial environment, and the logistics and the communications area and so on and so on. So whatever we do, Amara and the team will be looking at what is the particular conference that we're bidding for and then say which is the best province that from a knowledge economy point of view, which is a very, very important consideration in this environment, where can you take it so that the conference enhances the knowledge base of the community, but also the delegates themselves will come out of there having learned something. That's why we also use universities which have certain skills in terms of knowledge base to handle these businesses. So there's a bit of work that we have done in the past years with a limited budget in supporting various projects, various things into the country. And this will range from the big support itself, the detail of what we do in the big support is in there. So from big support, you then come to such inspection because people will want to come and see the environment and the facility where this bid is going to be happening, to then looking at the the convention attending support, and we have particular processes that we have put in place, the venue Sanaya recommendation, and the decade boosting when we go to various events, such as where we are now, if we were already looking close to winning a particular event, we use that platform to continue to boost our delegate. And then on-site event services that normally happens is the branding kind of stuff that we do on-site and so on and so on. In that definition of marketing in the areas where we can get the best money, we have a portfolio review, which happens every 3 years. The current portfolio review has produced the following market. This is where we are spending most of our money now. And when the portfolio review is completed, it will then give us 4 different products. What is the core market? What are the core markets where we are going to be playing? What are the investment markets and the market, the technical markets and so on and so on? The idea is that we keep pushing. It's kind of a pipeline that we create with the bottom end for everything up. So this is how we are investing. Until 3 years later when we review our portfolio, it may change. So it does change every year when we look at where we are investing. We said we don't have enough money, so we have to be selective and use a hub strategy. The process of how we deal with the hub strategy is explained there. But in essence, a very quick overview of how these hubs would look like. If they get readjusted over time, when we look at our budget and so on and so on, but you will notice that it's really a geographic hub strategy that we are following here. Informed by certain things as in common consumer habits and economic blocks and languages and so on and so on. Our task obviously is to make sure that we distribute tourism around the geographies of South Africa. Let me skip this a little bit and cover a bit of domestic. We have been given ring fence money, and that ring fence money has now become our budget, and we've dedicated that to focusing in the African market. So we have already opened a West African office in Nigeria. The idea again is to make sure we position this office to be able to service the West African market rather than making it a standalone kind of office. Our plan was to then open another office in Angola and Kenya very soon. We are busy re-evaluating whether it will still be cost effective for us to do so, given the change in the economic status of the country and the scarcity of funding, and the fact that it continues to be very expensive to market in some of these areas. Angola is such a case in point. So we are continually re-evaluating this. And of course, making sure that our messaging in the regional African market is very sensitive to some of the things that we have seen either there or happening. That South Africa is not seen as a friendly country. We've got a television commercial which we launched at Indaba. Those of you who were at the opening ceremony, you would have seen the commercial that we launched now. The essence of that commercial is to invite our African brothers and sisters to South Africa and give us an opportunity to actually spoil them. It is not a demand, so it's a very politely dated messaging. I've spoken about domestic tourism and its importance and where we are now, the budget that has been allocated to us, ring-fence money, and what are we doing about it. Essentially, what we're going to do with this money is divided into two parts. Part one of it is to focus on, in fact, let me say, in the initial allocation, 70% of the money will go towards what we call economic development and awareness. 30% will go to conservation. So you cannot let into conversion before you inculcate a cut of tourism and giving people the reason to travel. And then the second year will then split it into 60-40 and then 50-50 in the third year. So it will be very important that we continue to create a bigger base of what are going to be converting. But at the same time, those that are happening, give them the reason to continue to travel. So that's how we are using the money, and we are working with various key partners in the industry, the airlines and the media partners, as well as the hotel establishment, to make sure that the challenge of affordability is addressed, and the creation of the economic development and tourism awareness, you have to go to schools and communities, and also we work with the Stockholm Association to build that kind of understanding, because these people travel to a certain extent. With trading counsel, Chatterson, just how much time have I got left now so I can...
7 minutes.
7 minutes.
Are you going to negotiate? It's fine.
With the 3 minutes we've got, the grading council, I don't want to appear like I've just changed my colleagues and they came all the way, they shift to make sure that they presented them correctly. So they've got a vision as well, and it's got a mission. I'm not going to go into that detail, but the important part of it is that we need to actually focus on continually enhancing the credibility and the skills for the grading assessors. These are the people who go out and give that to establishment. So when you visit an establishment and you see it graded 4-star, 5-star, your natural instinct is to check whether your experience matches the stars that are there. So if these people don't do a good job, and the visitors or guests are disappointed, yourself included, you point to us. And this is a very critical element of what we actually do. So the grading system itself becomes very important. At some stage, there's an abuse of the stars as well. But as a voluntary program, we have to also continually give them a bucket of benefit, persuading them to want to be graded. In this voluntary program, you must give them grading for them to be graded. We'll put the little data next to it as a reward for those people that are doing good things in Africa to enhance the tourism experiences, including allowing themselves to be graded and doing certain things. And this criteria will include your tour guide and so on and so on. So this is really the detail of what we're talking about. Take it, so if you don't mind me skipping this before I do the members here. So in the extended merit of the grading council, recently the tourism bill has been passed, and for now we're looking at 5 different areas where grading happens. Accommodation is by far the biggest component of it, and I've also talked about the tour operators, and looking at the restaurants and the other tourist attractions which are very important, including conferences. Conferences, I think, take it off online, accommodation kind of environment. So we grade in broad terms those kind of things. Something that is very interesting is a hotel that has got a conference facility behind it. They are not graded the same. The hotel may be wonderful and 5-star, but the conference facility has to be graded separately. And if they've got a restaurant, it's an ongoing battle. The restaurant should also be graded separately rather than it benefiting from the talk. Key stakeholders for us, the first one, we have already acknowledged our principals, the National Department of Children, because they help us with the policy framework as well as the budget, and the tourists themselves, the people who come to enjoy the facilities, the assessors that I've said are very, very key to us, the establishments who invest in their own properties and they allow themselves to be graded, and then of course the trade which comes in different forms, and that has got its own particular platform when it comes to the Lady Bella Awards as well. So engage this strategic partner on a regular basis because the visitor experience can only be delivered through them. Alignment with various keywords has always been very, very important to us, making sure that we have a 360 engagement across the board. Another very key element, I'll also run through this, but it's a very, very important, but because tourism is a collaborative process, we work on the basis of a value chain, and the value chain is really looking at everybody in this process who can impact on the delivery of tourist experience and or eventually persuading a tourist to come back to the country. It starts with our own work and what we do to the tour operators and travel agencies who eventually book that customer or that tourist once they are interested. And of course our important partners in home affairs, whether it is about the issues that we're talking about now, the new immigration regulations, the key points in a particular country where people can go and apply for their visas, and they turn around. All of these things are very important and how much it costs. And then airlines have got to be able to bring that passenger or the tourist eventually into the country. The airports, when the people arrive there, is the friendliness and so on and so on. So this is a 360 degree of things that we do to make sure that anyone in this value chain play their role, or otherwise the experience of the tourists will be spoiled. If you look at hotels, people spend maybe 90% of their time, depending on whether you party a lot, but you will spend a lot of time in hotels. So it's got to be homely for you, you've got to feel comfortable. That's why we need to grade it. If that experience is not good, it can also spoil. People, when they arrive, first thing in the reception area, is it good enough, or does it really fit a negative impression for you? And the various tourist experiences, where people go, not the a quick reach kind of scheme. People must feel it's affordable, whether it's hot, the eateries, the restaurants, or the hot air balloon. All those things are not small. And when people go back and say it was not nice in South Africa, they are referring to this very thing. And it was difficult to come to South Africa, they are referring to this very thing. When they say we are not competitive, we mean someone in the team has impacted on the work that we are doing. So I choose to conclude now. I conclude by simply reflecting a little bit in the statistical details that we've got in 2013, which persisted in 2014. In 2013, we received only 3/4 of our figures, and then the final quarter was received very late, which is what informed the 94.6 billion rand number. So we have escalated this matter, Chairperson, Honorable Members. It's not like I'm saying the problem that we're telling you. We are doing something about the minister is also involved in making sure that the methodology change that has happened has impacted on our numbers. It becomes a bit of a PR nightmare for us, but we need you on board with us. There are things that have got nothing to do with how we as African tourism market ourselves. The health scares that we've had have impacted on our tourism industry immensely. And in our end of the year financial report now and the performance information, we have seen how countries like China have lost tourists to South Africa and India because of the Ebola scare. Nothing to do with South Africa but the perception of us being close. The xenophobic attack hasn't helped our image at all. We are doing our bit as part of the brand South Africa and machinery to make sure that we make a positive contribution and change this message at every available platform that we get. I think we can talk about the impact of the immigration regulation. We're not challenging the mandate and competency of Home Affairs, but I think it has created an opportunity for all of us to engage before implementation of technology, which may have unintended consequences. When we look at the domestic environment, really, the two things that remain consistently important is people say they cannot afford because of unemployment, inflation, which is informed by various things, and also we are saying we're not giving them enough reasons to travel, which is why, Honorable Madam, we are saying with the additional funding that we got, we must start with inculcating a culture of tourism among South Africa so that at least the question of cost, which remains a bit of a barrier, can be addressed partly by collaboration in the industry with key stakeholders. But at the same time, we are doing our best to make people want to travel. I think that's the good news. Thank you, slide. Thank you very much, Justice. Honorable members.
I thank you, the colleagues. It's not always that we have members of the boards of these institutions with us. So I would be generous, and before we take the questions, allow if there are any contributions that you would like to make, that we would welcome them. That is also our way as a select committee to show how much we appreciate you making the time to accompany the CEO and staff. Thank you very much. Any one of the staff members, because your CEO was saying that he's rushing through things, I'm particularly looking at, I almost called you Tulani, because I worked with a young man like you whose name was Tulani, and we are very appreciative of looking at the young energy that is within the SA Tourism, and want to say that
if you would like to say something now in 2 minutes, they are also invited to do so. We will engage with a round of questions, and you may want to wish to answer some of the questions, but it's up to you.
Yes, but then I think we'll wait for questions from the members.
Sometimes, Honorable Fawi, you know that when we go to a political meeting, you are told that, no, you don't speak. You allow the political, you allow the political forces, you allow the political forces to lead.
Do you think there's ever chance that
you'll
be following up this week?
No. He's not getting the message. The message that I'm trying to convey is that to say that tourism mustn't allow that. SA tourism mustn't allow that to happen. If you go into a meeting and the border you mustn't speak, you say the right to freedom of speech is something. But thanks, you have covered extensively, Mr. Zim, the document that is before us and that we've had before us beforehand. As we indicated earlier, it always helps when we have the documents long in advance, because then we can study them and engage meaningfully with you. We have a strange procedure here where we ask the members to raise their hands when they pose a question, but we know that all of them will have questions. So the hand raising is merely just to get the sequence right. So let's have the sequence then. In this way, we have Honorable Faber, then we have Honorable Lond, then we have Honorable Tebe, and we'll have Honorable Dikhale as the last from the floor. That doesn't mean that the chairperson cannot raise questions as well. So let's do it in that sequence, please. But what we do, please jot down the questions once we are through. We will give you enough time to answer. We have an hour left. So there is more than enough time to receive and respond to questions. My time now is 10 past, which means that we are planning, looking towards concluding at about 12:15. Thank you, Honorable Father.
Thank you, Chair. I will be brief today. Just quickly, thank you for taking us on a tour to Robben Island, because as you know, for a family of four, it got, as my colleague from the National Assembly also said, and I know you will know this, that it got 120 rand for a family of four to go to Robben Island. And it's actually apparently going to increase. Now, you know, this is a cultural, it's heritage, it's history for us. Now, to me, this is one of the main things that you must look at. I mean, you know, people want to go to Table Mountain. The only way you can actually have domestic people go to Table Mountain is by climbing it. Because it's so expensive to get up on top. Now, the same thing if we go to Robben Island. And we are saying that we want our people to come and see South Africa. People coming to Cape Town, to be quite honest, can't afford it. We must look at that. So, to me, that is a problem that we should really look at. You know, you wanted to achieve 15 million last year people in domestic travelers. You could only achieve 12 million. And that's a drop of 500,000 domestic travelers if you take it down from 2012-13. So you had a hell of a drop in domestic travelers. And then, if we look on the overseas part, and I've taken it on with you, Peter, who is also remember when we were in the Imbaba, in Johannesburg. What Johannesburg? Yeah. The conference, when we were there. Specifically, that same morning in the newspaper, the Department of Home Affairs, DG, said that they will not alter the visa regulations. Now, I tweeted, because that lady could tweet, you know, like the Mushi tweet, all of you know him, right? The new leader of South Africa. So in any case, what happened then, I tweeted. And at that stage when I tweeted, it was specifically about this birth certificate regulation that was put forward by the Department of Home Affairs. And we are talking about this online visa applications with a biometric on arrival. This happens in most of the countries. Now, if we want to save tourism, this is what we have to do. There is no other option. I mean, you know as well as I know, that we're sitting here, that that is the problem why we don't get the overseas guys here. They are the guys with the money that can invest, that will be a class, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't go on with that. But then, that same day when we were at the conference, it was said to us that Minister Honeycomb was actually the one bragging that he is, that's still the big, going to speak to Mr. Tegigawa. And this will be sorted out. Now, I want to know, did that meeting take place with Minister Igaba? Because that same morning, Minister Igaba's spokesperson said, they will not change by it. They're adamant they won't change it. Minister Anakum is saying, don't worry, it's going to be changed. I'm having a meeting with Minister. So this is almost like the left hand has no idea what the right hand is doing. And somehow they're not eating together. And the only people that are suffering are the people of South Africa in the tourism industry. And obviously, job creation. So I'd like to know what was the outcome if there was a meeting. I'm sorry, it was obviously not your presentation that part, but I really believe it is quite important that we have to look at this, because if Home Affairs don't wash your hands, you are sitting in the catch 22. Please help me on this. Thank you.
I will pass it on.
Thank you, Jim. There's two departments that I'm very jealous of, and this is one of those two. I think you've got a really exciting job. With your increased focus on the domestic tourism, what is your expected increase that you will get in domestic tourism set off against the losses that we are going to get from the international market? And I suspect it's going to be a net loss, and how are you going to make that up? Because it's going to have a ripple effect. Then I know we sometimes, especially when you work with other departments, need to treat one another with gloves on. But I think this department must take the gloves off and really fight for not just for yourself, but also just for South Africa, because it's the economy that's going to suffer, it's jobs that we're going to lose, and you are going to be on the red carpet, and we are going to climb to you because of your figures that's going to drop. It's going to drop because of what another department is doing, and we're not going to accept that you're going to say, yeah, it's not our fault. Then we're going to ask you, but what did you do to fight this? Okay? Because sometimes it works better if you address situations internally instead of people from the outside. So at the end of the day, you are going to be held responsible for the drop in tourism numbers, and it's not going to help that you're going to point the fingers at another department, because then you were the ones that's supposed to take up that fight. The rest, thank you for the presentation. Like I said, I am very jealous of you and your job and your department that you got.
Thank you, Venerable Much, Honorable Lund. Allow me just clarify two things, because Honorable Lund kept on using the word department. He meant you in Sato. We know that you are not a department. And also to say to you that we have had engagement already with the department, so don't worry about the slippage in the use of that term. That's one thing. The second thing, to just say that in the presentation you almost also made reference to the tourism bill. And there has been communication copied to me between Pietra and Kupeka, where we are looking at the program for the third term, where we will then look at that bill and do a further analysis thereof. So if there's questions coming to you related to the legal framework, we will at an appropriate time be engaging with that. Thank you for Kupeka and Pietra sharing that with me, otherwise I would have been lost in the conversation now. Can we then give over to Honorable Terbe to raise the next point, please?
Second honorable aunt to South African tourism. He seems to be very jealous of.
He only wants me away because he wants to make that happy. He did give
point.
I'm gonna try and beat 10 pieces. Okay. In the last engagement with your hotel CEO and your chief, I remember the very clear that I was very
passionate about plans that we can touch and feel about domestic tourism. I still can't feel that pulse from your presentation. The reality that we need to appreciate is that we have a historical fact that we need to also deal with. I am from the Northwest. I used to serve in the Northwest Tourism Board. I know that we were dealing with people, inhabitants of various locations who have not been to any other establishment that you can think, whether it's a game reserve or whether it's any tourism kind of an establishment that is there. Because we have not created platforms and that awareness through the ordinary person on the street. And I think we are still far away from doing that. And if we need to address domestic tourism, how do we then penetrate into the market? How do we create that resonation within the ordinary person on the street? We need to be going that direction. And I don't see it's like tourism is becoming more of a commodity. And we are trying to move away from that. Yes, we agree that tourism is a business, but tourism cannot become a commodity driven business without looking into how does it affect ordinary people that are riding on them. I can make an example. Sandit is well world renowned tourism, but there are people who are residing less than 10 years who have not been there because they don't even know what programs are we offering from the tourism sector in that establishment. And I think we can do more about that. And I want to agree. I seldom agree with Honorable Father, but how do we quantify the fact that for a family of four people going into the Southern Islands, you pay such an exorbitant amount of money? I know Honorable Father can afford that, but I can't afford it.
Honorable Father, don't let anyone know that you're saving more money now.
In my other deployment, my congregation will not be happy about such comments. The intra-African tourism trade. The recent SADC meeting that was held on the 29th of April explicitly expressed their wish that if we need to define what SADC would seek to represent moving forward into the future, would be industrialization. But you know that there is no industrialization without economic spin-offs on the tourism sector. What are the practicalities? What are measures that we put in place to tap into such realities? And I think we are making the right step into penetrating Africa regionally, integration. But we need to up our momentum in CEO and see how do we enter into that market domestically, regionally, and internationally. Because for years and years, the emphasis has been on the international platform. And we need to just step it down to the regional integration and domestic. I still have to, and probably we are putting on a spotlight, but I still have to hear somebody who would put a formidable argument about the regulations that are causing this whole world battle. Let me write it down for you. If you want to take a trip today and you want to go to America, you are going to comply to the rules. And at the center of what America has done was to say the security of the American people will not be compromised. My own understanding as a layman is that visa regulations are supposed to be
entering into the frame of how do we close our security, how do we keep the issue of child slavery and child, what do you call it, Jay? Trafficking, the board member is so alert. And I was reading about the Sunday traditional this morning. They were saying we are going to lose something like 60-70%. But nobody is telling us what are the tangible reasons that are going to allow us to lose such a market. Nobody. We are creating a view on a fear that is not... I must be able to tell you, I have never seen security where that it has not caused irritation. If it is not a security, if it is a security measure, it must be irrational. But what we want to do is, and what all African countries have decided, what all international, and we're part of the international community, we must all agree that the security of our country, our neighboring countries is important. And we must take it to that direction. If we want to raise an issue about how does this affect business, let's raise issues of how does it affect it. But we must then say, this is South Africa. We have the responsibility to protect those who are coming in and going out, protect citizens and visitors alike. But let's look at the statistics of the operation here. People coming into our country, yes, on tourism visa, they are not leaving our country. They are taking the law enforcement, they are taking the country to court, delaying the process. As I'm speaking now, we are having fugitives like in jail under taxpayers' money, and they came into the country through tourism visa. I'm just saying these are the practical examples of how do we need to step into that direction and say, we need to strike a balance in between the booming of the tourism sector and the security of the country. That's equally important. And I think in moving forward, we will have, and I know that we are putting you on a spot, CEO, but we will have this discussion. We are debating a budget vote on Home Affairs this afternoon. And then... We will have future discussion about this. But all I don't hear from what the people are raising is we are just creating fears that are not substantiated. Thank you very much.
I'm not going to allow you to debate. I want to apologize for the sound and the noise that the mic is making. We will have our debate. Everybody is allowed to express their opinion. And for now, we are going to allow Honorable Dihale to pose her question.
Okay. If we are going to debate things like this here, then you need to give it two sides. You cannot just say this, that we are fear-mongering, and I mean, there's tangible facts and figures that show we are going to be negatively affected because of one. It's already been done. So you cannot now go and say we are just fear-mongering and we should not raise these issues. It's important and it must be raised, and this will negatively affect tourism in South Africa. Okay. And it will negatively affect jobs in South Africa and the economy in South Africa because the sledgehammer is being used to address something that can be done in a different manner, in a different way.
That's one way in which you're looking at it respectfully. Honorable Tebe is looking at it differently. And we allow him to express his opinion, and we are saying that South African Tourism must then be aware that there are these two sides of the discourse amongst us in the select committee, and to really say be aware of that. But we're not expressing you to give us a departmental position, because we know that the position will eventually come from Minister Derek Hunkel. But as a select committee, we are saying that we don't agree, and we need to, as a select committee and members of the NCOP, have further conversation with each other on that.
Honourable Chair, just before the Honourable Member goes into the sitting, I'll give him the correct figures so that he can really see the facts.
I'm available for a telephone.
Honourable Dihale, you have floor, madam.
Thank you, Chapter 10. Actually, today I was not intending to say anything because I arrived late, but I am from another meeting. I want to start by raising order on the three honorable members, and the other one is going out. It was my time, and they just hijacked it without waiting for you to give them the platform to speak. So they must apologize, and the honorable member, because what I know is that we need to raise our hands, and then we allow you to allow us to or give us space to raise whatever. But I was just putting my arms here, looking at the dialogue. I was even thinking that maybe we're in a late society because, you know, kids, we just speak without, there's no order. But anyhow, let me take the opportunity, CEO, and welcome the presentation, even if I keep late. And also, I heard the honorable member here saying that you need to also invite people from the overseas. And my comment on that is that if you're going to then do it separate, you must know that we'll tell you to invite people, and I give example, invite the Russians and the Chinese, invite them here, and when they are here, then we come back to you and say, why are these people here? You see, no problem. But anyhow, you will deal with it. And I am tasked, because normally when we check on the presentation, provinces like Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Switzerland, and for example, they're always targeted. Today I'm happy that I can see my province is also one of the targets. I am from Limpopo. But then, I want to understand what is it that is going to happen. Because, for example, if I take the issue of mining, if you go down to the Kukuni, there are a lot of mines and people are suffering. So I really want to understand what is it that is going to happen with this target of industries and sectors. I want you to unpack it and explain it here for me so that I can have a proper understanding of what will be happening. And Chairperson, I thank you very much. And also to ask another apology. I have another meeting. If we can delay, then I'll leave.
What time do you have to leave, Hold on.
Apostle.
We'll be finished by then. I know, and I didn't want to say it earlier, I know you had a meeting with an ambassador, and I hope that you will say with ambassador you might talk. If you will allow me, CEO and your colleagues, to just make my contribution to the conversation this morning as well. On the slide where you talk about the mission, you are talking about alignment of your strategies with provinces. Now, you might know this, but let us just reiterate that we are here in the NCOP representing provinces and having our provincial interests, as has been said by Honorable Dihane, at heart. So if you're talking about alignment with provinces, this is the appropriate parties within Parliament for you to engage with, because we particularly serve the interests of our provinces and municipalities. And the operating word is particularly, because members in the NA may also do that, but we are there, appointed by the province. That's the first comment. My second one would be a question on the slide where you talk about the strategic outcome-orientated goals, page 34 of 36 on the threat plan. You bring us the figure there of 9.6 million tourist arrivals in 2013. Now, based on the fact that one tourist creates 7 jobs, what you want to say is the contribution of this 9.6 million to the job creation. My next question would be on the slide number 14, where you have the overview of the 2015-2016 budget and medium-term expenditure framework estimates. Am I reading properly there that you are saying your budget is 977,712 for 2015-2016. Sorry, 977 million. Am I right? 977. Government allocation. Because that's my next question related thereto. You clarified it for me, now there's a government contribution. Do you get that only from the Department of Tourism, or do you also benefit from other departments of government? The reason why I am raising that would become apparent in my last question, which is where you make reference to the importance of the value chain on your slide 47. There you mention a number of stakeholders. Now, I thought it might be expedient to say to you that we are dealing, as well as this select committee, with transport, and if you talk about hotels and we look at trade and industry in cooperation with tourism on that, it might be something that we could also then have as a common field of interest, and then also restaurants and other products, because we are also dealing with small business development. Now, I am raising that because of the comment that has been made by Honorable Lott, that when we look at the work of this department, we are indeed jealous, because we feel that it can do so many other good things for our country. And therefore, if we could advocate with you for maximum tourism attraction and growth, and creating a conducive environment for tourism to grow, we would be prepared as a select committee to also partner with you on that. Should it happen, however, that there are other departments that are giving you difficulties, other departments that you need to do advocacy on, like the one that we are raising now on the immigration legislation, not that you are raising, that has been raised here, I think you should know that we as a committee are open to receive them and to consider your request should you want us to make interventions with you. Thank you very much.
Over to you, sir.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you so much for the support that you always give us. We always wonder whether the impact of the things that we are doing do get across perfectly well. And in, just let me follow protocol for a little bit and start with the Chairperson's presence here. And the reason I find it convenient now is because it links Honorable Long's question as well. But on the very last point that you made, the slide that we showed earlier on of the value chain talks to the issue of the impact of tourism in other spheres of the economy, but also it is about the influence, the work of tourism that we ourselves sometimes are not articulating sufficiently to protect our budget. But the first task that we think we need to win is to get honorable members behind us by simply making sure that you understand in full detail the work that we're doing, be it in the tourism, in the domestic tourism environment, international or in Africa. So this is a very, very key platform that we have to work through as part of that value chain. What we have done with the executive team is also a realization that perhaps we are not doing tourism case good justice in terms of the work that we are doing. I was sharing earlier on in an informal conversation, the exposure that honorable ministers and honorable members have had at Indaba and meeting Africa. And then another missed opportunity which we had last week at IMEX, the conference that we went to with Amanda in Kigo. You would have been proud of the work that we are doing. And once you get to have raised that, you'll all be as eloquent as you, Chairperson, and the Honorable Ron are about the work that we're doing. And that way, our quest for funding will be made that much easier because you understand the course that we are following. So thank you very much. In terms of other departments and what we need to do or how we get funding from them, it's a very emphatic no in terms of funding coming from other departments. Our lifeline is linked to the National Department of Tourism, who have already understood the impact of tourism in the lives of South Africans. Then with that message understood, they have helped us a lot in putting a case for additional funding. We have seen it demonstrated in two areas, honorable members. The additional funding we got for marketing in recent Africa was all due to the fact that the department has understood the impact of tourism. The second one is on the domestic tourism, the additional funding that we've got. That was to a very, very large extent based on the fact that the department understood that message and was very grateful for that. The minister has also just arrived now and put an incentive program that will help us. It will augment the budget. I think when CFO concludes his accounting work in 2015, it will indicate the exact amount that we have spent, if there is anything in between, over and above what we have been allocated here. But I think CFO have accounted for everything. Right? Everything has been accounted for, but we have been able to get that money. We have had a conversation with Minister where we're saying, the same very change that we've got, and Minister also has to have a similar very change, where he will look at who are the people who contribute to the success of tourism among his colleagues in various ministries, so that he embarks on that kind of a lobbying, so that anybody who is either positively impacting or could possibly negatively impact on the work of tourism, that work done at the ministerial level, away from us, we can only point out things that are impacting on us and work within what we are capable of. And the 9.6 million Chairperson in tourism and its contribution to job creation, it cannot be a direct translation. We have actually stopped the argument of how many jobs, how many tourists create jobs at the moment, because the numbers differ from country to country, and even the United Nations World Tourism Organization interchangeably use different numbers. But I think for us what we can say is, in 2013, we received 9.6 million, and the tourism, both direct and indirect, has created just over 1.5 million jobs in the country. It is not a direct mathematical calculation, Chairperson, because we are saying right now we are holding back on the multiplier effect of a tourist, save for the fact that there are two things that we can account for after the next. That is the contribution to the economy. By this 9.6 million tourists, it has translated into the 125 billion rand that we mentioned earlier on in Toro, and then that over 1.5 million jobs were created, both direct and indirect, linked to the 9.6 million tourists in the country. This excludes the domestic contribution. So that, I think, especially that's where we can stop it. Amanda, I'll ask you to talk a little bit on the impact of targeting provinces, but let me deal with the rest of the issues and then I'll invite you to come back there. And Honorable Saba, the very first point which was is also echoed by Honorable Tete on the impact of the fees that are charged by various heritage sites, is a clear concern that our minister has already taken up issue with. But honorable members, just bear with us. we honestly understand that whether it is Ebola, it is xenophobia, is various other things. We may tell you that it is nothing to do with us, but at the end of the day, we still have to account. In so far as the fees that are collected or charged by the various establishments, we do not have much impact on it. We can only persist with our lobbying for them. Some of them have the unfortunate situation where you find that it's a private investor linked to it, so they want to make a profit by charging a fee. So it is very unfortunate that sometimes even things like a road infrastructure, which may be an impediment to people reaching out to those heritage sites, may be so badly dilapidated. But South African tourism in particular, it does not have the mandate to actively intervene in any one way. We cannot ask Robin Island to discount the 500 or they will tell us about cost recovery. So it's a very difficult situation for us, and Robin Island is not the only one. The minister has already said this. It is actually a travesty of justice that South Africans cannot go and experience this facility. In his view, it is the right of every South African to go and experience this. We have already launched the Madiba-inspired tourist attractions, and I will invite honorable members to visit download our mobile app and see exactly how we've packaged these various products. But the part of it, which I wanted to touch on, is about affordability, first of all, and secondly, readiness for the visit. We don't know whether they're in good state or they're not in good state, but we want to market this. It's good freedom park. If you talk about the Mandela inspired tourist attraction, the capture site, it is one such beautiful thing, but how much ready are they to receive tourists? So the lights and the infrastructure around those things is a bit outside of our scope, but we continue to engage those people because we believe it will enhance our value proposition. And then also, the drop in the domestic tourism number, Honorable Baba, this is the reality of the fact that certainly the national tourism sector strategic documents that I referred to earlier on had these onerous targets which were put together at the time when the economy looked like it was doing well. With a change in the economy, we have actually managed to extract some bit of concession, and we will be presenting the realistic targets that are now aligned to the numbers, because it became very obvious that we will not achieve those numbers. So this year we have an opportunity for a formal presentation of the national tourism sector strategy and to put realistic targets. But also, one of the things that has happened, it will be three of the elements really. One is to revise the target. Secondly, is to take out of the national tourism sector strategy those kind of targets that South African tourism can impact on. And not everything that is there is actually within our domain. And the third one is just to ensure these are realistic targets that we can work towards and can achieve. In terms of the immigration regulations, can I just talk about this, combine various issues that have been raised around this. Honorable Tete also had a point about it. And then Honorable Lund, you also had some issues referring to it. Firstly, in so far as ministers' conversations with his counterpart, not that I'm not a dealer issue, as if I'm privileged to the conversation, but I really don't know how far they are with their conversation. Maybe it is something that they will choose to make public, or they will still keep it behind the scenes. All I know is that the minister has said in the public spaces that he is equally concerned about it. The level of optimism that he displays in terms of what Honorable Sardot picked up, well, because it is equally concerned. And I think to a certain extent he has been even a little more vociferous on this issue in public spaces. So I'm not saying anything that Honorable members haven't heard, but I'm not in a position to say they have had a conversation and this is where it is. And also, secondly, coming to Honorable Ntele's issue of the competencies and the rationale for the immigration regulations. In my comments on it, this was my closing slide. I never said I would challenge the rationale for the new immigration regulations, and I do not do so even now. it is the competency of Home Affairs. Do I understand the rationale? Absolutely. From the protection of child trafficking to the security of the state, securing our borders, all of those very honorable reasons, I understand fully. I think the challenge, honorable head, is just simply in the manner in which we are implementing it, because the collection of biometric results is the requirement that America, Germany, and everybody else require. But the difference here is, where do you get it? If you have to provide it at the point of application, in other words, an application in person, it becomes a little bit challenging because you have to travel in vast countries like Russia. It's big, and you only have one or two places where you can go to. You go to China, same thing. There are only 2 points in China where you can apply for this, in Shanghai and Beijing, and you take a 3-hour flight to go and do this thing. But it's necessary to collect a biometric certificate. How can you collect it? It's arrival. And we said with America. So we embrace all these things. The location of child trafficking, absolutely novel idea. We need to do all of those things. But these are not the kind of things we should be debating now, honorable members. I want to, again, in a very strange way, push it back to yourselves and say, now that you understand this, take the debate away from us. We are civil servants. We are... So let me just plead that because the impact are actually going to be there, the study has been conducted. Let's say, let's look at this picture together. And is there any way we can change it? I'm not going to challenge anybody on whether you can, you should implement anything, but you shouldn't. But we will learn from the best, and also the result are going to give us the minute. We can give you our opinions on that. But Honorable Baba has offered to share in a pilot round with you, Honorable Ted, these numbers. So that's what it is. And we're not actually looking at the exclusive, Honorable Lon, it is not an exclusive choice of increasing international tourism vis-à-vis domestic tourism. Honorable Jihadi, that is not really the decision that we are making. Our decision is to have a balanced portfolio of tourists coming from the core markets where we have invested traditionally, as well as focusing on emerging markets and the regional African markets, because everybody is focusing on that. But insofar as the domestic market is concerned, and its importance to us is really, first of all, is common sense, and the second one is economic reality. The reality is that when the global economic environment changes, and you have such a huge reliance on your international tourism, you have such a switching ability that it will destroy your economy, the tourism economy, like, if you do not have your own domestic tourism market. The sustainability of businesses in the hospitality industry will be dead if we have too much reliance on domestic tourism or the international long-haul traffic. So we're not really saying the long-haul or international tourists are more important than the domestic ones, but we are saying we are going to learn from the best. The most successful tourist countries out there rely a lot more on their domestic tourism, and it makes sense for us. We can count on it in good and bad times. So the issue, honorable said, I said this upfront, that you are not going to get the details and the things that you are looking for in terms of our commitment to domestic tourism. But what we have done now, my sister noted that there is obviously a need for more detailed domestic tourism conversation. And we'll answer all the questions and concerns that we've got. And we're not going to be fabricating it. We are going to be pulling our strategic document and say, this is what we are saying. This is how it will respond to the Northwest. But one small thing I want to reflect on is the role of the Provincial Tourism Authority in making sure that the Northwest province is properly positioned, that it has a relationship with the communities near it. I will not be able to do that myself, including Sun City's relationship with the community is the bulk of Sun City and the Provincial Tourism Authorities. They must do that, and we are assisting each other. We work together in that case. So it's a role for us, and it's a role for the provinces. Also, in terms of the intra-African tourism, and two things that are very obvious to us, maybe three. Certainly, we use Meetings Africa to make a very clear statement that the trading market platform has to talk to tourism that tourists the continent of Africa. Before they even talk of South Africa as a country, before we talk of provinces in where you come from and the cities. So the Made in Africa's platform and INDAP, which was a clear demonstration of how we have made the Pan-African trade show, talks to the fact that we actually are also encouraging intra-African travel. Yes, in terms of the trade, it exists, but we need to convert those people that are currently moving around for trade purposes into tourism. For us, Honorable said, every event, whether it's a conference or an exhibition, we see a tourism opportunity in it. And we also need to make sure we take the media people and show them around the country so that once they're here to cover an African Union conference or African Unity conference, they also get an opportunity to see other things. And we'll do so in the next conference that is coming up here in conjunction with the Brand South Africa. So I think I've covered enough around what let me just say is the, one of the things in the inter-African travel is our approach in terms of the hub strategies and the numbers that we've got there do tell the story in terms of how we are approaching it, being sensitive to the budget limitations that we've got. The question of, I think now I'll leave it to Amanda to cover the other question. I have covered enough on the autonomy of the Department of Home Affairs in what they are doing, their visa regulation, and how this is impacting on our tourism. I think Jefferson, honorable members, allow me to just invite Amanda to talk on this the other thing. Oh, the alignment of the mission with the provinces, it was a comment and I tick the box, say you are happy with that, and then I'll leave it at that and allow Amanda to speak on the targeting of a provincial experiences along the NCB work. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jay, and honorable the caller, thank you so much for the question. I was thinking now that I can give a long one or a short one. A short one I will give because I think everyone wants to go to Robben Island. No, I'm just joking. What we did when we went around the country to actually form a business event, South Africa business events industry strategy, was that we look at all the provinces, look at where their strengths are, because one of the things why the National Convention Bureau is actually established, and all of you also that as honourable members contributed to that, was that we need to coordinate and make sure that we don't use our money unwisely, but rather wisely coordinate it and do bidding internally that we go for our strengths. So when you put in a bid, for instance, for a agricultural conference or association, and there's so many of them, that we rather go to a destination, a province, a city, that we know that if we put a bid in against, and that is, those are people that we compete with, the Paris and the Viennas and Dubai and whoever, that we have a good chance to win the bid. And so we align to this sector with the government sectors, and it's just an industry. We are talking about investment opportunities. When we bring a conference of the agriculture, what is the legacy, what is the outcome of the conference? For us, the outcome of the conference is knowledge economy. It's also when we bring the thought leaders of the world to your region and to your country and to even to the continent, that you can have then 1,000 African delegates. We, if the same meeting, for instance, happened in Dubai or in Melbourne and Australia, you maybe would have 50 delegates. And so that is how these sectors, and we all agreed as the provinces that this is the sector that we will focus. So if we support any event with any financial support or bidding support or any of those sports, we only support first the ones that we are identified and that were signed off before we will go for, because there are so many association meetings and so many different different sectors that one can go after, but we believe that as with the objectives that we have for meetings, that we have to align ourselves with the sectors that is the most important for our government, that puts out that objective so that we can grow the economy. So these are the economic sectors that we focus first on. How do we help them specifically? If there's any event that's coming in, and it is something that will go to Limpopo, whilst they don't have a convention bureau yet, we are playing with them and we help them to do the bid then and go after that. I hope that answered the question.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Mr. Dulani. Does that bring us, if you have royalty in a meeting, you always have this tension, which is a healthy one, where the royalty always says the last word. So we will allow that.
I just want to clarify, the CEO is calling me in the chat and he is in bed. I want to clarify that.